Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God is good. Amen. Turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 8. That's where we're going to start today. It's also on your bulletin, obviously, and we'll be on the monitor as well. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you that this is a church of love, Lord, that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We love this church family, Lord, and we are devoted to you and we are devoted to one another. Let us grow in relationship with one another as we grow in relationship with you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing, Lord God, and let us leave here refreshed and excited and changed for the better. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you guys so much. I'm so thrilled to be with you. I'm excited about the sermon. We like to practice what we preach down here at the VLC. And this is something that I have been working on for quite a while now. And see, the thing about Scripture, the thing about the Word of God, if you don't trust the Word of God, if you have a different opinion than what the Bible says, well, then you need to line your opinion up with what the Bible says. Okay, because the Bible is true. Amen. Can I get a witness? So what we got going on here today is the Apostle Paul, who, remember, he's in house arrest over in Rome, and he's sending this letter of encouragement and thanks to the Philippian believers. And he says, guys, man, you don't always have to think negative. Can I get a witness? But we can think positive, and we can actually choose what we think about and what we meditate on. And what a wonderful blessing if we grab a hold of this and apply it to our lives, because you don't have to work at being negative. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to work about being negative. You can look at a situation, you automatically see the bad in that situation. But we do have to work on thinking on the right thing, on the positive thing. But God wouldn't ask us to, listen, God wouldn't ask us to do it if there wasn't a way for us to do it. Amen? So God wants us to choose the things that we meditate on. And God wants us to have peace. And in this world that we live in, we need peace. Okay? Not just peace because God wants you to have peace. That's certainly a huge part of it. But God wants you to give that peace or that calm assurance to your brothers and sisters in Christ, your family, and those around you. There's a whole world that needs the Christian population to stand up and say, all is well, man. All is well with me. I serve a God that is in control. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Let's get hyped up. So, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So the New King James Version doesn't say think about these things, but it says meditate. The sentiment's the same, but I like to think about the word meditate when I'm talking about thinking positively, because it seems to say that I'm putting forth more of an effort. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I am meditating on what is good. I am meditating on what is true. What is true? Jesus Christ. Everything that is true starts with Jesus Christ. Amen? So I want to meditate on these good things and not so much the negative. So meditate. I looked up a couple definitions of the word meditate, and this is my favorite one. Okay, so like I said, the New King James says to meditate, not just think about these things, but to meditate on these things. And the meditate means to, listen to this, give proper weight to. Okay, give proper weight to. So I'm going to think about positive things, or godly things, or good things, and I'm going to give them the proper weight. In other words, we give inappropriate weight, or we give too much weight to things that we shouldn't be thinking about. We burden ourselves with all the cares of the world and all these things that Satan has designed, that the world has, just to weigh us down and to burden us. And God does not want his people to be like that. So he says, choose what you think about. The Apostle Paul says, make a conscious effort to think on the godly stuff, on the good stuff. Amen. So in our last study that we did, Sister Claudia killed it last week, if you guys weren't here. She did an amazing job, as she always does. But the week before that, I was doing the thing, and we were in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So to do this week's study properly, we need to go back over briefly over Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Everybody listen up. We're moving fast because you guys are bright. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. Remember that? We've heard that a million times before. Okay, but are we applying these truths to our life? If we do, we're going to be blessed. If we don't, we're going to be in the same old rigmarole we've been in. Amen? And we could be super stressed out, man. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so in other words, whatever is stilling my joy, whatever is burdening me in my world, and I know that we all have real legitimate problems, man. Okay, but see, the Apostle Paul just said, you take that problem, and he's not talking about changing the tire or something you can do yourself. He's talking about when you got something that is stealing your joy and is not giving you peace, okay, and it's bigger than you, give it to God. In other words, clear it out. Clear out that space of negativity, whatever's stealing your joy. Just give it to God. And he tells you exactly how to give it to God, through prayer. And he says through supplication. Be personal. This is you standing in the need for a need for yourself or something that is important to you. I'm giving this to God. Amen? Do not be anxious about anything, but let your request be made known to God. And then verse 7. And the peace of God. Who wants the peace of God in their life? Hey, we need it, man. We live in this crazy mess of a world, but we need the peace of God. And this is how we're going to get the peace of God. And this is how we're going to keep the peace of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. I like that part. I love that part. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That is when you see that guy walking down the street, man, with his head held high because he knows that his God is in control. When he looks at the gas prices, he's like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. This is beyond ridiculous. You know, and you, just look at the world scene and all this and wanting to start a war with Russia for no reason. All this craziness that doesn't make any sense. Can I get a witness? I can still have peace in my heart because I'm giving my burdens to God. I'm not saying I'm burying my head in the sand, but if it's bigger than me, I got a God that's in control. Can I get a witness? Give him some praise. Go ahead, please. We got a lot of people dealing with physical issues, mental issues, financial issues. Fill in the blank. A lot of people are going through a lot of stuff, but we serve a risen Savior, and he is in control. Okay. So verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So in other words, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is saying, don't be stressed out. Don't be worried about what you're going through. And that's a tall order, man. That is a huge order. We got a lot going on in our lives. But God says, hey, give it to me. And this is what I'm going to give to you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. And then this week he's talking about, you want to keep that peace, don't you? You want to keep that peace? Well, choose what you think about. Don't be all negative. Don't jump back into the same mess that was stealing your joy. Be anxious for nothing. Choose what you think about. Are y'all with me? Okay, so we want to win the battle of worry, and that's going to start by giving our burdens to God. So look at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It's on your bulletin. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. This is the same teacher from the Philippians. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the wild and crazy Corinthian church. And this is what he says to them. Now listen up, guys. This is good stuff, Sister Davenport. This is good stuff, Sister Claudia. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Man, this is good. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So this is what we do, Jameses. This is what we do. We take whatever's coming at us, whatever fiery dart Satan is throwing at us, whatever we're dwelling on, and if it doesn't line up with God's word, if it's contrary to what God says, okay, then the Apostle Paul says, annihilate that junk, destroy that junk. Don't even think about it. Give it away, push it away. Well, how do I do that? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I'm giving my burden to God, and I'm choosing to think on God's goodness. Amen? Makes sense? We want to have joy. We need to have joy. And Jesus Christ paid for us to have peace and joy. He didn't just pay at the cross for us to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. That's the biggest thing in the world. You know what I mean? But he wants his people to have peace. And he gives us the tools to do it. Okay. We destroy arguments. Well, I kind of got riled up there. We snap into a Slim Jim. Second, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. Listen to this. This is cool. And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Okay, so here comes this fiery dart. Here comes this negative thought, you know. Well, let's say, you know what? I'm not going to dwell on this junk, okay? I'm going to dwell on what is true. I'm going to think on what is pure. I'm going to think on God and God's goodness. And say, for instance, we're not just talking about worry. We're not just talking about fear and anxiety, because we are talking about that. But sometimes we can get so negative about people in our world. You know, it's the same thing. Think the good thoughts about these people. Think what is good about these people. And situate the positive. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you don't have to work hard about being negative. You can leave this parking lot or you can be in this parking lot and immediately start thinking something ridiculous or hurtful or harmful about one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We all can do it, and we've all probably did it. You know what I mean? Because God doesn't want us to do that. God says, think about the good things, man. You know what I mean? This is your brother and sister in Christ. Just moving forward, that's just food for thought, because I know that we can battle those things. Can I get a witness? We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So listen, I've got a job to do. Amen. I am in the army of the Most High God. I'm here on earth to do what God has called me to do, to give him glory, to serve him. So I want to obey him. Remember, the good book says, if you love me, you will do the things I command, right? So we want to obey God, okay? So we don't need to be burdened with a bunch of ungodly thoughts, man. You know, when Satan says you're worthless, no one loves you, no one's going to care about you, or he's having you focus on some past trauma or something like that. I'm not saying these things aren't real. I know these things are real. But see, God says we don't have to dwell on that. And when Satan comes in like a flood, go back to these steps, man. Right here, like he says, be anxious for nothing. But I'm giving this to God. I'm giving this to God. And I'm pushing this evil thought, this bad thought, this negative thought out, all right? And I'm filling it with something else. I'm filling that big space between all you guys' ears with, no, I'm playing. I'm pushing the negative thought out, but I got to fill it with something. You know what I mean? So I'm going to focus on God's goodness. I'm going to focus on what is pure, what is true, what is holy. Amen? Because I want to be obedient to God. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. Philippians 4 and verse 8 again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Okay, so I'm going to focus on God's goodness. I'm going to focus on what is true, what is worthy of praise. Look with me at Psalm 119, verse 148. It's on the monitor. It's on the bulletin. Psalm 119, verse 148. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. So what's the watches of the night? Well, you know, back in the old day, just like in the military today, they have sentries. They have people guarding. That's the wonderful thing about the U.S. military is they're vigilant, so we can sleep with our sleep nice and soundly each and every night. But anyways, moving forward, back in the old day, they'd have sentries on the wall or watchers on the wall, and so they would be aware of anybody sneaking up, any kind of invasion or anything like that. So the psalmist in Psalm 119 says, those guys are awake, and they got to be vigilant, man. They're watching for something. And I am just as fired up, man, throughout the night. Okay, I'm thinking about God's promises. I'm thinking about God's goodness. And so all I'm saying is we have a choice. We have a choice in what we're going to entertain and what we're going to think about, you know, and what we put into ourselves is going to come out. You know what I mean? If you're constantly thinking negatively, that's going to come out. It will come out. And there's certain things that Christians, we just do not have the luxury to mess around with. God does not want us to be miserable, depressed, bitter folks. Can I get a witness? My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. So there's that word meditate again, giving proper weight to. I'm giving proper weight to God's promises. And see, so I'm magnifying God and his promises. And then my problems, which are real and they're big. You know, we got some real deal stuff going on in the world, in America, in your families, in your homes, in your bodies. Okay, but stacked up to God and his faithfulness, man, it ain't nothing. I'm not downplaying your problem. I'm just saying we're magnifying God. We're meditating on God and his grandeur. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise, for goodness sakes. So here we go. Romans 12 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul's up again to the Romans. Do not be conformed to this world. So we can be like business as usual and just think the way we've always thought. You know, negatively. That's okay if you're an unbeliever, because that's what you're going to do. You know, the pagans worry about such things as this. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but I'm not a pagan. I belong to the Most High God. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he's given me provision, Dustin, so I can have peace and joy in a world that's going cray-cray. That's what the kids say. They say cray-cray. Yeah, they don't anymore. They don't anymore. That is so true. Do not be conformed to, and I'm always a couple decades behind all that stuff. I'm in that gap now where, I'm in that gap now where if I say something, I'm like, and the kids will start snickering. It's like, you know, that's dirty. Like, what do you mean that dirty? You shouldn't say that. All right now, all right. Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like you used to be. You don't have to be like you used to be. We don't have to be negative, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Isn't that good? This is what God says. Change the way you think, man. Change the way you think. And that's going to start by giving all this craziness to God. Give it to God. And think positive, think good thoughts, man. Think godly thoughts is what I want to say. I'm not just saying don't just think about how pretty flowers are. Flowers are certainly pretty, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you thought there was, never mind. I'm just saying we think about God, man, and God's promises, God's faithfulness. Okay, here's an example. I'll try and give an example because I'm really good about giving examples. It never really works out, but I'm not even going. Okay, so anyways, man. I've never had anybody to really be committed to me and love me, you know, or at least that's how I feel. Well, hold on, man. Hold on. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. There we go. Focus on God and his goodness. Give him glory. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. See, God is faithful to you. That's a big deal. Amen. We focus on the godly. Ephesians 4 and verse 27. This is the Apostle Paul as well. And give no opportunity to the devil. I like the translation, or the version rather, that says, and don't give Satan a foothold. You know, that just speaks to me. Because it's easy for us, because this whole inappropriate thinking or negative thinking or whatever, that just comes right through the bloodline. That just comes right through the DNA. That just comes right through the old man, you know. I'm hardwired to be a half glass cup empty dude or whatever that's what the kids say now. Now, you know what I'm saying, man? It's easy to think about the negative. And there's all kinds of help to help you think on the negative. You know, my phone constantly gives me updates about how the world is falling apart around me and all kinds of lies and stuff like that. And then if that's not good enough for you, just turn on the TV. They got 24-hour fake news anywhere you go now. Okay. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, they got a lot of fake news out there. Anyways, y'all are about to get me in trouble. But you know what? Like I said, we put the fake. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, man, I'm rebuking that mess. I'm casting it out. Even when Satan wants to bring up my past and the things that I've done, hey, well, the Apostle Paul says, I forget the past. I'm moving forward, man. Isaiah says, don't dwell on the past. All right? Move forward. Focus on God and His goodness. And give no opportunity to the devil. Don't give him an inch because he's going to take a mile. He's going to take all that you will give him. Amen. And you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God says, don't give my property away. Don't give that knucklehead any space because he's going to exploit that. All right. You belong to me. And I want my people to have peace and joy in uncertain times. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. Okay, so every single part of our being is blessed and better when we do this simple thing right here. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. You know, when I focus on God's goodness, every single part of my being is better. Does that make sense? Does it sound like I'm trying to be smart? I'm not trying to be smart. Okay. I am smart. I'm a smart guy. My mama said I look handsome today, and I do. I feel good. I feel good, yeah? Yeah? I feel good. All right. I am somebody. People like me. Proverbs 17, he's all right. He's okay. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. This is true. A joyful heart is good medicine. You hear what I just said? A joyful heart is good medicine. And I'm going to have joy when I think about the right things. Okay? A joyful heart is good medicine. We need to think and choose what we think about. You know, think about God and His goodness and let that outweigh anything else that's going on in our world. Because check this out. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. I don't want dry bones. I want healthy bones. That does not sound good at all. Yeah. How you doing? Well, your bones are a little dried out. You know, I'm sure some of our medical people in here could put some more emphasis on that, but just to me, it don't sound good. Having dry bones. All God's people said bones. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And sometimes we are in a situation where our spirit is crushed, man. We don't know how to get out of it. Well, we're learning right now how to get out of it. But see, we have access to supernatural health. Remember, supernatural help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So I can live in peace and joy even when I am traumatized by something in my past from what someone did to me or what I've done. You know, there's all this ruckus that Satan wants to pull us down and make us feel like we're not worthy. You know what? Okay. Well, so, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. You won't find this on your bulletin, but I just wanted to throw this in here talking about a crushed spirit. Psalm 34 and verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. My spirit is crushed, man. I'm not being funny. My spirit is crushed, man. I'm devastated. You don't know the year that I've had and all this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. See, when I focus on God's promises, that's one thing I understand. He's with me. He's with me, man. He is with me through this storm, whatever it is, for the duration. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and check this out, and saves those crushed in spirit. Isn't that good? So, man, sometimes I'm in a place where I can't see my way out of it. Well, God says, you know what? Yield to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And you give these burdens to me. And if you have to do it five times in a minute at first, do it five times in a minute. Do not let this stuff take root, man. Focused on God and His goodness. Amen? Amen. All right. All right. Let's get a last slide. Those donuts are back. Some things you never think would be good together. Sometimes you're afraid to try things because you think, well, that just doesn't sound good, or it sounds unique, or maybe. But I'll go ahead and say that you take a delicious glazed donut, which everybody likes and enjoys, and they're good for you. They make you feel good in your heart. Not eight of them, but six. Yeah. You take one and you sprinkle it with a little bit of swine. You sprinkle it with bacon, and it's actually delicious. It's delicious, yeah. There's one back there if you guys want to fight over it. We can do King of the Dirt Pile on that. Okay, let's move forward. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Y'all pull it back together, man. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, man, grab one of these things and think about it. Think about the good stuff. Think about God and His glory and His faithfulness. Verse 9, that's where we're at. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The Apostle Paul is super, super cool, and he's certainly probably my big hero of the New Testament other than Jesus, but I really like the Apostle Paul. It's cool. He's saying, I, Philippian believers, I'm in jail. You're going through a lot of persecution. Check this out. When I was there, when I was with you guys, remember the Philippian jailer, that guy, beat him? He didn't beat him, but anyways, go back and read that stuff in Acts, man. It's amazing at what the Apostle Paul did when he first met the Philippians. And what he went through. But he's saying, I've walked the walk in front of you. I've showed you how to have peace. I've showed you the right way to go. I've given you good, sound gospel teaching. Okay? So you have the letters that I've given you. You have my example. You have the word that I've preached over you and instructed you with. You take these things that you've seen me do, the things that I've taught you, and you put that stuff into practice, man. Because I want my people to have peace. The Apostle Paul says, you guys are precious to me, and I want you to have peace in this world that's falling apart. Don't lose any sleep about me. Pray for me. I'm not going to lose any sleep about you. I'm going to pray for you guys. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this not just once, but he says this from time to time when he's writing these churches. He's saying, when in doubt, remember what I did and follow that. Right? He's got a lot of trust. The Apostle Paul knows who he is in Christ. He knows who he is in Christ. And he says, if you don't know what to do, follow my example. Amen. That's another thing that I want to throw out there. Be careful who you imitate. Be careful who you take advice from. You know what I mean? Like I said, some people will not even mean to, but can bring you down. I've certainly done it, and I don't want to be that person, man. When I do counseling, it's with an open Bible. That's what we counsel out of, the open Word of God. Anyways, moving forward, the Apostle Paul said this, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be imitators of me. All right. Be imitators of me. Follow me as I am of Christ. Man, that's super cool. The Apostle Paul says, you can follow me. You can follow my example because I am going to follow Jesus' example. Amen. So as I take advice from people, let's pay attention to the people that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to do what the Word of God says. Amen. And let's make sure that we're one of those people that's just not given our opinions and points of view and stuff like that, but we are following what the Word of God says. Amen. So in closing, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I like that. Brother Rick, I like that. And the God of peace will be with you, because that's who we serve. We serve the God of peace. Amen. And I remember earlier in our study 2 weeks ago, it said, you give me your burdens through prayer with a thankful heart, and you will have the peace of God. You will have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But now the Apostle Paul is saying, check this out. You're not just going to have the peace of God, but you're going to have the God of peace with you throughout all this. So here's my problems. Here's the craziness in my world. Here's the geopolitical thing. Here's all this. Here's the corona. Here's all this stuff, right? Here it is. But the God of peace is with me, and he wants me to have peace. Amen. Let me just give you this verse. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I don't really, but it would look like that I always try and pull this verse out. But man, this verse is just so important to me. It is such an encouragement to me. And so this is one of the things that I'm going to think on. But anyways, talking about the God of peace, Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not. What? Yeah. Fear not. Well, do you know what the doctor? Fear not, for I am with you. The God of peace? Yeah, the God of peace. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. The God of peace is with you. And he is your God. In other words, not some fake deity, not some dead guru that's rotting in some tomb somewhere. We serve a risen Savior. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Man, I dig that, man. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And it also shows that I have a part to play in all this, man. You know what I mean? God says, I'll help you. I'll do the part you can't do. You need to trust in me. You need to activate your faith and know that I can do these things. You know what I mean? I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when it says the God of peace will be with you, that's what that looks like. We have the creator of the universe that has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell the heart of every believer. And he wants to strengthen us and help us and guide us, man. So whatever we're going through, it's not hopeless. We can pretend it's hopeless or make ourselves think it's hopeless by what we choose to think about. Man, nothing is hopeless. Nothing is impossible for my God. And my God is faithful and he is committed to me and he is sovereign. Amen. It doesn't matter. God is good. All right. Give the Lord some praise. I love you guys very, very much. No one's in trouble. Nobody's in trouble. Just want to throw that out there.